You know, it's just that it's late now. You know, I'm on the East Coast and it's dark.
It's dark, so you're not a vampire.
I don't know if I have jet lag, but I've been here for I probably jet lag wears off after months, right?
Yes, it should.
Might be something else then.
So now that we've got all that out of the way, let's talk about some opening day baseball.
Okay, so let's pause.
Oh yes,
And maybe I was too quick last week
yes,
to compliment
but
you. But let's pause and let's just go back in time, just a little bit of time reversal. And
and
let's.
I'm John Sumple at John Sumple on Twitter. He's Jed Rigney at Jed Rigney on Twitter.
That's right.
And this is Foul Territory, a baseball podcast.
That is us.
And we're going to talk about opening day. That is on our agenda amongst many other
Yes.
things.
And
But
clearly
before
you're
we do
very
that,
excited about it, as you should be.
I should be. I'm chomping at the bit, little foam in the corner of my mouth. But before we get
That's
into
rabies,
that,
John.
before we get into that, we have a new sponsor.
Yes, which is not rabies, but
Brought to you by rabies.
maybe next week the show will be brought to us by rabies. Today's show is brought to you by Hope. And today's hope is brought to you by Opening Day. Andy Dufresne in The Shawshank Redemption tells us that hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things. However, it's important not to get too carried away. We can all hope for a hot date with Charlize Theron. Is it Charlize or Charlize?
Whatever you prefer.
Charlize. I think Charlize sounds more delightful. Or a hot date with Tom Brady for the ladies, and also me. But the probability is that it's just not going to happen. There can only be one World Series champion each year, and for now, that could be any team. So there is plenty of hope. But it's best to enjoy your hope now while you have it before it disappears like all of your other dreams in life. New
Wow.
sponsor.
New hope. Sponsor. Not a new hope, but a new sponsor.
No, that's a different thing entirely.
So now we can move on to opening day?
Yes, John. There's lots to talk about in the world of baseball, but the only thing that we
So
care
much.
about
Yes.
is opening day. And we'll talk about other stuff.
I wanted to ask you a
day.
Question about the, are you, well, you're, yeah, probably. Do you recall in your childhood watching opening day, it was always the Red Sox, or the Red Sox, the Cincinnati Reds that were the traditional opening day because they're the oldest team, that they would always do that. And that stopped in 1990.
Yes, I do remember that, but I don't really remember it. Like, I
and
don't care.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was something traditional. And
yeah.
I remember as a little kid growing up that sometimes it was snowing on opening day. Sometimes the field was covered with snow. Sometimes they were wearing, you know, turtlenecks. It was just a matter of what the weather was. But yet this weekend in Monday, opening day weather, with the exception of Chicago, was fantastic.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because this weekend I particularly enjoyed the three opening games on Sunday. And then the traditional opening day on Monday, where they used to just do the one on Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
or the big ESPN game or whatever. And I always just felt like, really, just one game to kick it all off? It's like Christmas Eve and you're opening one present. Let's not be weird. Let's not be Danish, you know? Let's just,
right.
let's have a few.
Right.
Wait a minute, do the Danes do it on the Christmas Eve? I don't remember. Anyway. You know what? Sometimes things that happen in my head and they make sense. And then when the words start coming out of my mouth, it sounds like most
You're
of this
stuff
program.
Up.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, three really good was it? It was two really good games, and then game on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great to be watching baseball that counts and all that good stuff.
And for the Dodger fans out there, that was a most enjoyable game.
Yes,
blowout 14-3.
Oh yes, sorry, I thought you were talking about Sunday. Yeah, no, the game on Monday. Oh my
yes.
gosh. There's so much greatness that happened in that game for Dodger fans. Normally you're thinking like, oh, Kershaw, you know, he's going to have to shut down. But the Padres are so bad. I'm worried this is going to be their season, right? Like the Padres are going to be like that team. I think I've talked to you about this. When I used to play softball, there was a team in our league called the Pops.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was just like, oh, we were all sort of competitively balanced, all the teams, but the Pops, man. You could always count on a 35-0 game against the Pops, making everybody feel good. Like the Padres are going to be that team that makes everybody feel good. No matter, like you'd be the Reds, and you'd be like, oh, you know what, man? At least we're not the Padres.
Right.
Sweeping the Padres at home. Come on. That was crazy what the Dodgers did to them. It was so fun.
And to have Chacín as your opening day starter is, tells you all you need to know.
So, but also, speaking of opening day starters, we're kind of bouncing around here on opening day, notes from the opening day. The Angels had Ricky Nolasco, and the A's had Kendall Graveman as their man.
That's scraping the bottom of the barrel, both of them.
I don't want to hear about playoff hopes for those two teams when that's the situation.
And that's when you kick things off. But the I think the most probably the most exciting game was the Giants blowing that game with all the money. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later with some of the stuff about hot or not. But to have Bumgarner dominate and hit two home runs and then blow the game in both the eighth and the ninth inning was unbelievable. Just to blow the lead.
I mean, honestly, like that's what's so great about baseball. This is why, you know, every game this can happen. You can be down by four and come back and win, and you can be the Rangers were up by three yesterday against the Indians, or 2 days ago, or the day before, which, whichever you're listening to this. And then they, you know, give up runs and give up runs, and next thing you know, they'd lost 8-5. It's such a great part of baseball, you know. It's bad for Ranger fans, of course, but, you know, there's always the next day or whatever.
Well,
and it's just so great to see it happening all, because I think this is one of the better opening days that there have been. Like, there was a lot of interesting stuff happening.
Well, I think one of the things you have to look at, too, is that, you know, people say, oh, baseball's a long season. But I look at particularly like the Mariners. The Mariners and the Astros play seven times in the first 10 games. Isn't that crazy? So
really,
of the 19 times they'll play each other, seven of them are going to happen in the first 2 weeks.
That feels like it's one of the they need to add two more teams thing. Like that feels like a scheduling conflict brought up by that, doesn't
it? But it's I think what it does though is it makes these games extremely important.
Yeah,
and especially for the Mariners who are you know were on the outside looking in, kind of made it all the way to the end of the. They were there on Friday, I think Friday night before the end of the season. They were still in the hunt. And if you just look back at early season, a couple of games here or there makes a difference. But the Astros are the de facto crown champs of the AL West, so they have to be playing very well against the Astros in order to be in there at the end of the year.
But the Astros didn't make the playoffs last year.
But everyone's picking them; they're the sweethearts.
That's right. Everyone's right, but they're trying to prove something too. That's what's so interesting about those two teams to me is. These two teams, like the A's and the Angels, have nothing to prove to each other. Neither of those teams is making the playoffs. But here you have the Mariners and the Angel and the Astros up against each other. By the way, how weird is it that the Angels, Athletics, and Astros, all three A teams, are in the same division? Can we have a conversation about that at some point when maybe my coffee wears off? I'm a little bit high on coffee right now. Anyway.
And another interesting fact that I heard over the course of having the games on in the background on Sunday and Monday, was that the Braves are part of opening day for four different teams.
Okay.
So each of their first four series are the opening day for the team that they're playing. So
that's kind of interesting.
Including their own. So, you know, two or three you can understand. Obviously, there'd be two, yours and, you know, your road teams, you know, potentially. But
so what do you think? This is some sort of conspiracy?
Yeah, they're trying to make sure that the Braves start off on the wrong foot. I don't know. I have no idea. But they have three. They play three away series to start off the season.
And in each away, it's the home opener.
Yes.
I wonder if there's a strategic disadvantage to that. Certainly not for the Twins, who've lost the previous eight home openers before winning on Monday.
Right.
But anyway, lots of good stuff out there. The Red Sox looked great. Solid pitching. Great hitting.
That looks like that's going to be their jam. Benintendi started off with a nice little day, with a little dinger opening day.
That's right.
And Bryce Harper has hit a home run on opening day every year that he's been in baseball. So five consecutive opening days, five consecutive games where he has a home run.
That was another great game.
Yeah. So, yeah,
game. Adam Lind with the pinch hit two-run home run.
That was exciting, although I am a Marlins fan. I was shaking my head that, you know, Phelps, who was supposed to be their kind of go-to guy for both short and long relief and occasional start, he just was, you know, not delivering. And their bullpen was what they put all of their money into in the offseason, and their bullpen to not perform very well on day one.
But isn't that always the way? Like, has anyone ever put a ton of money into a bullpen and then had it actually be very good?
Well, if that's an indicator, if they turn into the Giants of 2017, it's going to be a long season for Marlins fans. But I just thought that was one of the biggest stories, too, is, you know, all the money that was spent on Melanson, $60 million on Melanson, and he comes in and blows the very first game, which is why they went out and got him, because they blew 32 saves last year.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. So, but yeah, for game one, long season, all that stuff. But one of the other things about opening day that was, this is the first time in, what is it, 60 years that Vince Scully, 60 plus years, has not been behind the mic for the Dodgers.
The last time that opening day did not involve Vince Scully, dinosaurs roamed the earth, John.
It was back in the 40s, wasn't it?
This is before color television. This is before African Americans were allowed to play. Isn't that right?
We're allowed to use the same water fountain as white people, I think.
60, 40, 70?
It's a long time ago.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Maybe it was the first year that... Well, that ruins my whole thing. I was going to do a whole... All right, never mind. But anyway, it's been a long time.
It has.
And he doing now? I think there was some article about how he's, like, home buying stuff online. And it's just like every other old person.
Toiling in the garden.
But, like, he was buying moth repellent or something like that. It's very funny. But, yeah, no Vin. They replaced him with some guy who I hope is good. But, I mean, I know the radio guys they have are just awful for the Dodgers. Charlie Steiner and Rick Monday. Poof. These two guys share a booth. And I defy you to have any experience while listening to them that makes you think for a second that they're in the same room together. They sound like they're just like in separate rooms watching the same game, admittedly.
So they don't play off of each other very well.
They don't play off of each other. There is no chemistry. They've been together for like 10 years and they just act like it's my turn. Now it's my turn. And now it's my turn. Like back and forth.
And I don't know if you listen to the ESPN games, but Eduardo Perez, if he doesn't broadcast any more games, I'll be fine with that.
Speaking of ESPN, who's the lady that they've got?
They started doing her last season, and she was a former softball player, and she knows
her
stuff.
I'm going to tell you, I thought I was going to be super annoyed by that, but she was really interesting.
Good. Yeah, she's good. She knows her stuff.
Wow, I was really impressed. Not that it's like I'm impressed because it was a woman, but I just thought, like, you know, you usually want that guy dynamic, right? But if I can tolerate Aaron Boone in a broadcast booth, certainly tolerate some woman, especially she's so knowledgeable. It's great.
Yeah. That the first time I heard her, I was a little bit like, yeah. So it's like now we have all, and this is going to sound like we're throwing down on women, but it's something new. And I didn't know what to expect. And the first time I heard her on a broadcast, I was blown away. Yeah. She knows her stuff. She is. And
that's
people,
all we really want.
We're going to get hate mail for even suggesting that it would have been wrong. I know certain people out there are shaking their fists as they're listening to this in the future. But
those people will be soon in a car accident because they should have their hands in the 10 and 2 position while they're driving.
Right. So here's
I don't mean it as a sexist thing. Like, I just think that most women that they put into these sports environments clearly don't know the sports they're talking about. They're there for like the human interest stuff. No, John. 85% easily don't know what they're talking about. And they ask the same tired questions that the producers give them. And I'm not saying it's on them. It's on the whole system.
Well,
it's, she was in there and she sounded like she just knew baseball and was just going to talk about it. It was great.
And she's one of those people, I think, that can intimidate the other people in the booth with her because she does know the game. She's played softball and she knows
softball,
the game.
But
well, she was
very good. Let's not get carried away. She's a very knowledgeable baseball person, but let's not get carried away.
Okay. Speaking of additional things on opening day, I didn't see this, but
this was great.
Yeah, the impeach Trump banner was displayed on displayed on TV or just at the game? Did they show it on TV?
I don't think they showed it on TV. I think it just was one of those things where people took a picture of it. And so anyway, yeah, at the Nationals game, some protesters who thought that would be like the way to enact social change unfurled a banner that said "Impeach Trump, racist."
Is that like a
anyway? If you see the picture online, no one cares. There's no one in the stadium that cares at all. No one cares about that. First of all, most baseball fans are probably Trump voters.
I would say mostly. There's a good portion of them. Sure, yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Just saying mostly. Okay. Yeah. Second of all, that's just not the right place, guys. Go have a dance party in front of Ivanka's house. That's the solution.
Have a march, you know.
Yeah, have a
New
march.
York City, you know. That's
go do a march. Right. That'll handle it. Don't turn out to vote, though. Heavens no, don't turn out to vote.
Just another group of people raising their fists and shaking them vehemently. And then, like, did you vote? No, I didn't vote. As well, right. You have no place to be
exactly
shaking your fist. So let's Shameful. Keep, let's move on to additional things going on. You know, all this new stuff, it's all good.
Yes.
So Christian Betancourt, who was a catcher, is now a catcher, pitcher, and also playing, I think it's third base, or he is
outfield. I think outfield. He's a outfield. Yeah.
So he is now like the beginning of a new experiment in baseball. We have shifts, we have specialty middle innings relievers that are now dominating the game. Are we going to get like, you know, pitcher hitter combinations going out there now?
Well, the first experiment did not go well. He had his butt handed to him by the Dodgers as part of that 13-run or 15-run explosion or
right.
whatever it was.
14-3, yeah.
14-3. I knew there was a 3 in there, John. I was right. You let me finish.
You already got there eventually.
Anyway, so yeah, so he was a catcher, and a lot of catchers have really strong arms, and it's not unusual for a catcher that can't hit that much or isn't that good at catching to be converted to a pitcher.
Well, Jansen was a catcher, right?
That's right. Jansen was a catcher and of the Dodgers, and that worked out great for everyone. Anyway, yeah, so they're trying this sort of like two-way player where he can be the third catcher, so just in case, or he can also, like in the game, he pitched and then finished an inning and then came up and he bat for himself because he didn't have to do a pinch hitter. So well, it's a little bit of a...
There's where the
thing,
value but... is that more teams are experimenting with a deeper bullpen. So that means you have a shorter bench. And if you have a shorter right. bench, it would be nice to know that you had someone who could also hit and play the field.
Exactly.
You know, in
now, and the Padres, of course, have nothing to play for. And they are a terrible team. So why not, right? Like, this is like the Pat Vendeet thing, except worse, the guy who can pitch left and
right.
right-handed.
Right.
But like this is the team to do that on, right? Don't be surprised if they're like if they bring out other stuff,
like a like, orangutan.
Yeah, like they're bringing orangutan out. They're gonna like okay, all the you know these guys are all gonna wear no pants, right. and we're gonna see if that works. And we're gonna all these guys are gonna wear bow ties and see if that makes a difference.
They're going to be, remember last year we were talking about, they'll be the first team that, you know, paints the field in pinball colors and,
yes.
you know, you the ball hit, lands
MTV
here.
Rules.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fans win prizes. If
Yeah. They're going to bring in fans to pitch, man. Yeah. Aisle 328, row X.
And they might have to
seat
go through
14.
Or,
come on down.
They might have to go through 7 or 8 announcements before they find a seat with somebody actually in it. But well,
they'll just stick to the seats closer to.
Okay, and here's some more big news. You know, yeah. the official soft drink of Major League Baseball has been handed off from Pepsi to Coca-Cola.
Right, which is great in two ways. One, Pepsi is garbage. Almost every Pepsi product also is garbage, except for Mountain Dew, which is one of the greatest drinks ever created on this planet. However, what took so long? Like,
how
MLB,
long had it been?
Why are you positioning yourself with Pepsi? No one likes Pepsi. Pepsi is a punchline. Not only is Pepsi a punchline, John, but they've added to the mess today by releasing a commercial where Kendall Jenner, or Kylie Jenner, one of the Jenner kids, cures police brutality and racism with Pepsi. John, this is a real thing that's on the internet. It's not a satire. I'm assuming Coca-Cola funded it, but this is a legitimate Pepsi commercial.
Wow.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
Okay. I don't want you to pause the show because whatever, but after the show, and for those of you listening, you'll want to pause the show and go watch this thing. She literally cures social unrest by giving a police officer a Pepsi. She's in the middle of a photo shoot while there's a protest going on. She stops the photo shoot, joins the protest, grabs a Pepsi,
and all is well
cures
the, world again.
The whole thing by giving her Pepsi, which I assume she didn't drink because that's gross. And that would probably create a riot. Gives it to a cop. all the problems are solved, everyone's happy, everyone goes home, the cops are no longer use excessive force when dealing with criminals, and people stop unnecessarily protesting things that didn't actually happen the way the media presented them. It's a magical moment for this country, and I think we're all going to heal now.
Speaking of magical moments, who's on top of the Maxim list of baseball's hottest wives and girlfriends?
That's going to be Justin Verlander's steady gal, Kate Upton.
I'm not a Kate Upton fan.
You know, John, you've said this a couple times, and I'll still be your friend. This is something about which you are wrong.
I don't care
whether you're a traditional statistics guy or an advanced metrics guy. I'm old school. She's number one. What struck me weirdest about this list, though, John, is it's really just like four gals. And one of the girls is like Reed Bregnack's girlfriend.
Well, it has
sounds
to be
a
some...
little bit like a... Are there
minor league players or a lot of no-name players on there?
No, it's just like four or five people. It's like, I think Evan Longoria has a porn star wife, bless his heart. And then, God, who is that guy that was on the Mets? He was on the Chris Benson. Do you remember Chris Benson wife?
Yes.
His wife was like all over everything and like trying to, anyway, fortunately she went away after a while.
And she was pretty outspoken too, if I recall.
Oh, yes. About everything.
Yeah.
She was one of the original attention prostitutes.
So to speak.
Can't use whores, as we know from ESPN fantasy baseball naming conventions. We have to say prostitutes.
It blur the words together.
Yes, exactly. Fame prostitutes.
There you go. And there was no pause.
So that's it. That's all I got on that.
Okay. And the last thing we have in our headlines is pretty significant when you consider that the Yankees have been on the top of the payroll list for decades, it seems like. They've dropped to number three.
Yeah, did you know who number two was? I didn't catch that.
Number two?
I know the Dodgers are number one.
The Dodgers are number one, where they're like $300 million or something like
Carl
that.
Carl Crawford money and Matt still paying Matt Kemp something. And
number two.
Did you have Google on your computer?
I do. Oh, I thought you were asking me to.
No, I don't know who the number two is. Here's what happens. I read the article, or I started to read the article, and then I was like, oh, they're not just showing me a list of who the teams are.
Okay.
That's what I want. And then I got distracted by the Kate Upton thing.
It is.
It's a Forbes thing, right?
So we got
Forbes
the
list.
Oh, this is saying. This is saying the according to MLB team payroll tracker that the Dodgers are number one at 242. Yankees are number two at 201. And the Red Sox are number three at 199. And the Tigers are number four at 199. So that's this site. And this site is Spot Track.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what that is.
That's called fake news. Hashtag fake news. All right. What is this? InfoWars? Are you on InfoWars.com right now?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Let's see.
No offense to people who read InfoWars.
I'm not seeing any other.
Anyway, they dropped to number three, so it must be the Red Sox.
Okay, here
we
go. Here we go. This will probably be more accurate.
Yeah.
No.
The one article I don't research, and this is what happens.
Yeah, and this is another one. I'm looking at another one that says that it's Yankees are number two.
When was this one?
This is from CBS Sports. Posted on April 3rd. So yesterday. Did the Yankees sign somebody? I mean, they're within $2 million, which is, you find that in your couch as a major league owner.
Gosh, this is so annoying. Well, you know what, John? It could be that this story is not as interesting as I thought. And because if it's... But anyway, this is a team that is about to clear out a bunch more payroll next year.
Right. As we've talked about already, they're clearing the coffers so that they can sign Bryce Harper to a $500 million contract.
Yes. And also running their farm team brilliantly.
They are.
Which is good for them. No, here we go. Forbes.
Okay.
The payroll to start the season is 195.2.
What's the date of that?
This is, okay, this is how the internet works. I got this story today because this is from April 2nd.
Hmm.
It goes Yankees, Giants... Wait a minute. So the Detroit Tigers. Yeah. And the Red Sox are 178.8. What?
That can't be right.
That's crazy.
Because this the
no
other
wonder
two
they
have
Mitch Moreland at first base. Jeez.
The other two that I looked at both had the Red Sox at number three.
Well, I'm going to go with Forbes because you were on frickin' InfoWars.
No, I was on CBS Sports.
CBS Sports doesn't know jack squat.
You're going to believe a sports publication?
I'm
going to
believe Forbes, dude.
That's the Bible.
Over CBS Sports? Do you hear how many octaves I'm going up on this?
I don't know. We'll see.
Can the levels even handle these octaves? Oh, maybe yours is from last year, though, John.
No, it's from...
Because this is according to the Associated Press. Now, granted, they've been off a little bit lately, but still.
This is April 3rd, 2017.
And no one's ghost... Wait, was it?
April 3rd, 2017.
I'm telling you, that's a mistake, man. Well, you know what, John? Let's just skip to the next thing because...
We've spent way too much time on this.
But anyway, good for the Yankees for lowering their payroll. We both agree it's under $200
million. Yay.
That's a heck of an accomplishment. And then... Don't they have some other money? If Sabathia money falls off.
Oh, tons, yeah. His big contract goes off the books.
Yeah,
and I think they're paying A-Rod this year, too, so that goes off.
Wait, do they still paying A-Rod this year?
Yep, this is his last year.
I thought he retired. Oh, man, whatever. But this like that whole weird thing in baseball where like guys don't play anymore, but they still get their... Like Carl Crawford's getting his 21 mil from the Dodgers.
I love that too, but with the managers that get fired, if they signed a 5-year contract and they're gone in year two, they still get their 3 years after that.
Ozzie guaranteed Guillen. Though, right? Yeah. I guess that's part of the deal.
That is
what else is there?
That will take us through the halfway point of the show.
New segment then.
But now we've got a new segment.
Hot or not. So basically, this is just me reconfiguring the three up, three down, because I didn't like saying the next person that is up.
Right.
That's literally why I couldn't stand doing that segment. So we're going to just do hot or not. I got a bunch of names, and I'm going to tell you whether they're hot or not, and we will discuss their hotness and their notness. Or their notness.
Are we going to do all hots first and then the knots, or are we going to do each individually and say whether they're hot or not?
Yeah, we will.
This is all new, so we're working it out.
Yeah. So first one out, Masahiro Tanaka, not hot.
Which is interesting, too, because he was so hot during the spring training season. And dominant.
World Baseball Classic, right?
Yeah, dominant.
Solid.
Yeah. I think he gave up 3 earned runs his entire spring, and then he gets blown up in game one.
Got blown up by the Rays, too.
Yeah, like, and he didn't even make it out of the third inning, did he?
Oof. It was ugly.
Yeah, it wasn't
It was
good.
Ugly. I know some people think he's the, you know, a good possibility for the Cy Young, because the American League Cy Young is so wide open this year, right? Because, like, there's no Kershaw, right? And there's no, I mean, all the great starting pitchers in the league right now are really in the National League. Scherzer, Bumgarner, Syndergaard, so forth, so on. See how I said it? Like, those were people, other names I was listening to, like, so forth, so on. See how I did that?
I did. That was brilliant.
It was like a little thing I was doing.
That's comedy brilliance.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, definitely not hot. Hopefully he gets his poop sorted out before the next outing for the Yankees. Or if you're not a Yankee fan, like myself, you don't mind if he kind of gets struggles and even it does affect your fantasy baseball team.
Okay, so that's definitely a downer for the start of the season. So he's not hot.
He is not hot.
How about Odor?
Very hot.
Very hot.
Rougned Odor is not stinking, right? Odor?
Yes.
Stinking?
Stinking. All right.
He's going to be not hot at some point, and then I'm going to be like, he stinks. He's got a Rougned Odor.
Yeah, unless he cold cocks somebody, then he'll be super hot again.
Yes, John, I will make sure that when I say that he is not hot and that he stinks, that he is not within arm's length.
Okay, good.
Two home runs on his opening day. That's great for anyone, but it's, he had a great season last year, 33 home runs. And doesn't walk quite enough for like a superstar, but starting off with two home runs, that's a superstar.
That is a superstar.
Who else didn't? What other superstars were there that didn't really walk that much? Vlad Guerrero didn't really walk that much. He's always swinging at everything.
Right.
Who's the guy that played too long in the outfield? The Hawk, Andre Dawson.
Right.
No, another
true.
Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Did not walk enough. Probably doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but. I'm just saying, those numbers are pretty bad in hindsight. All
but that was the old days. That was old school.
That was old school.
Yeah.
And here's another. That's a guy who should have taken advantage of the DH, because watching him in the field in the late 80s and the early 90s, oof, that was not easy to watch.
So how about Jose Quintana?
Let's do Jose Quintana. He got lit up today by the Tigers. By the way, have you seen the lineup for the Tigers?
That's a pretty good lineup.
No, John. Okay, so you have Ian Kinsler, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good second baseman. You have Nick Castellanos. That's a good third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Miguel Cabrera. Ooh, solid. Very good. Very impressive guy. Right?
Right.
Then what do you got? Victor Martinez? DH, kind of. Maybe he's done. Maybe he's not. Justin Upton, maybe a little overpaid. And then what? You have nothing. J.D. Martinez is out. They let Cameron Maben go. They let Mickey Matuk play center field, who admittedly hit a home run today. However, that's not going to be a regular thing for him. They got some guy in filling in for right field I never heard of.
That's Matuk. Matuk's in right field, right?
No. He's in center.
Nah, Jones is in center, isn't he?
Oh, Jacoby Jones, Matuk, right, because they were playing for it. Right. So you have these two guys. Was it Jacoby Jones maybe hit the home run?
Yes.
That's right. Okay, good. So, but Matuk got hit by a pitch. Close, that
went over the wall for a home run.
That would be, oh my gosh, if they
that
could
do that.
That
would be a hard pitch.
That would be a very hard pitch. The exit velocity, right? Like StatTrax is like, whoa.
Right.
Anyway, this is not a great lineup. And then Jose Iglesias, who admittedly is in there for defense, but like, James McCann at catcher. Jesus.
Yeah, that's like a.
Come on.
It's like, who's that?
I'm just saying, without Martinez, and it feels like they need one more guy, they can't spend any more money, right? We were just talking about there. They're up at the top there with the $200 million salary cap. Not salary cap, but above the whatever.
Luxury
tax.
Yes.
And with Ilitch passed away, they had the big display in the outfield, Mr. I thought that was that was kind of cool. It's unfortunate, though, that Mr. I doesn't sound... It sounds a little weird, right?
Sounds like a Bond villain, doesn't it?
Yeah. But like if it was EYE.
Right.
But it was just the letter I. Anyway, nice tribute to him. Great man. He's a Little Caesars, right?
Yes.
Pizza, pizza. But also a big-time philanthropist, and there aren't enough of those in the world. Who else we got? Dallas Keuchel,
yes.
Okay, so a big part of whether the Astros are going to be poopy or good is this starting rotation. And Dallas Keuchel, 7 shutout innings. You know, not a lot of strikeouts, but, you know, he does that thing where he sort of pitches to contact and he gets the pop-ups and the weak grounders. If he's pitching like this all season, this is the guy that they were looking for.
Right, and this was – it's the 2015 version who is keeping the ball down and away.
The Cy Young.
Yeah, so when he's keeping the ball down, he's dominant.
Yeah. Back to Jose Quintana, by the way. See, this is why you trade a pitcher when people want him.
Yeah,
because let's say Jose Quintana
the start of something bad, right?
Exactly. Let's say he gets hammered halfway through the season. Who's going to want to trade for him? Mm-hmm. Nobody. This is why when you have a good player to trade, you freaking trade him. Except for closers. Trade closers in the middle of the season because those are the reward you get for that is just unprecedented. What happened last year with Andrew Miller and Chapman? I mean, those are huge returns on closers. I think anyone that has a good closer should trade him halfway. Forget it. Even if you're going for the World Series, just trade him away. All right, probably not.
Probably not a good strategy.
Probably not. But anyway, so this is what, you know, the Astros sort of have this question mark about their starting rotation. They were one of the top teams interested in Quintana. They have the minor league players to do the deal. Anyway, Keuchel looked nice. Keuchel.
McCullers had a good outing, 6 innings tonight. They're up 2-1 against the Mariners, and 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 7 Ks.
I love McCullers. We have him in our fantasy baseball. He's in every fantasy baseball league. But one of the other owners traded for him, and the envy, the raw, unadulterated envy for that gentleman and his.
And he
his
was hurt towards the end of the season last year, and that was a blow for them. So now
he does have a little bit of some injury history. Mm-hmm. Who else we got? Madison Bumgarner. This is the hottest of the hot.
The hottest. You can't get any hotter than that, other than the fact that he didn't get the W. But that you can
W's
blame.
Don't count, man. I don't want to get Brian Kinney on here to kick your butt. W's don't count. Team wins count. Pitcher wins are garbage. Except for fantasy baseball, in which case they're cool.
They're valuable.
They are valuable. So What do you get, 10 Ks or 11 Ks?
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Oh, and just two home runs.
Just the two home runs that were
just two
smoked.
Home runs, both with exit velocities over 110 miles an hour. I know this exit velocity thing is a new thing, but God damn it, it is awesome. 112 miles an hour. This guy clobbered two home runs. You don't get hotter than that.
Yeah, I think the big stat is the 110 mile an hour in the statistic they had over the last two seasons, the players who had the most home runs over the 110 mile an hour. And the number two player had like 12. And I think it was actually Gomez from the from Houston. But the number one player was Stanton with like 42.
Yes. It's Stanton and then everyone else. It's like pitches over 100 miles an hour is Aroldis Chapman has like whatever,
right.
1,000. And then the next guy has like 18.
Right. It's crazy. And it's cool that those type of stats exist now that we can take a look at like spin rate on curveballs and stuff like that. It's just, you know, you can... It's a whole different paradigm for evaluating talent, too. So it's pretty cool.
It's fun stuff.
So speaking of dominant pitchers, Clayton Kershaw, we talked a little bit already about him, and he's definitely on the hot side of the equation.
Yes, and I'm going to put him down here as hot, even though it wasn't like the masterful.
He gave up a home run to a lefty. What was that all
he
about?
Did, he did. Well, that's sort of his bugaboo, right? Matt Adams and is it David Murphy? Daniel Murphy.
But he's faced like 1,500 lefties in his career.
Hey.
And only 1,500 at-bats against lefties and only 20-something home runs.
It's crazy.
That's dominant.
It's crazy. But here's the thing. We're not putting him on this list the rest of the year.
Why not?
Because he's always Kershaw. Hot. It's like he's always hot.
He should
like,
be on.
Oh, Mike Trout, very good player.
We're basically saying that if you're a dominant player, you should be expected to be hot. And if you're not, you'll show. He might show up on the not list.
That's a good point. He might show up on the not list.
So yes. we'll have to see.
I will concede that. But this guy is hot. He's the hottest there is. He's better than Bumgarner. He's better than Scherzer by a good 20-30% better than each of those guys. He's the greatest living pitcher. It's amazing. Next.
Chris Davis.
That's Chris with a K, not Chris with a C. This is the Oakland Chris Davis. Two home runs opening night for an Athletics team where it probably doesn't really matter that much. How many?
Very Padres-esque.
But the reason why I wanted to bring him up, because I thought I was watching that game last night, because who doesn't want to watch the Angels and Athletics play a baseball game?
It was the only game, opening day game, that was on at 10 o'clock on the East Coast.
Right. Now, that may have been because they didn't want to schedule against the tournament.
Probably, yeah.
That's probably what happened there. But anyway, so I'm watching this game, and he hits his second home run, and they throw a show. They show a stat on the screen that's saying, these are all the Oakland A's hitters that have hit 40 home runs in multiple seasons. And I thought, yes, with two, he's definitely on his way. But isn't this guy traded halfway through the season, John? Like,
don't the
A's have to trade
him?
You're
right. That's their thing. That's what they do, right.
I feel like they could get something back, like what they got for Reddick.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it was Reddick and Hill, but they got Jarrell Cotton, Frankie Montas, and Grant Holmes from the Dodgers. That's a really nice return for two half seasons of players. You got to figure someone like Chris Davis, you trade him with the Dodgers, you trade him to, I don't know, maybe the Red Sox are looking for a DH or something. You get yourself a really nice prospect back. You figure the Athletics, there's no way he gets to 40 with the Athletics, right?
He had 36 last year, didn't he?
Yeah, but no, he had over 40.
Oh, he did last
year?
He led baseball, didn't he?
He won't be getting 40 with the Athletics.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
He's getting 40 this year.
Yeah, combined. I hear what you're saying.
But combined, you see what I'm saying? Innuendo.
Well, unless the A's are competitive and, you know.
Okay. And that's our humor segment on the show.
Yeah, when your pitcher of value is Sonny Gray, who went from being, talk about someone that should have been traded when his value was high 2 years ago, to a kind of a injured mess last year and starting off the season on the DL this year, not all world like he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, the broadcasters were talking about the A's last night, and then they were like, yeah, you know, they, you know, really solid offense, and The bullpen is has a lot of different really good pieces, like you know, listen, Ryan Madsen, solid, and Sean Doolittle, and who's the other guy? Ryan Dull, right? Good guys out there. And then they're like, but and then it goes, and then that's starting pitching. Well, all right, yeah, so maybe not so much of a, like, it's a big problem.
There's not a lot of times
that
they're going to be going to that bullpen throughout the season with some valuable closer stats on the line.
But it's nice to have a guy like Chris Davis you can trade away in the middle of the season, get yourself a nice piece back. We'll see. Not hot Major League Baseball closers. Let's count them off. Who already getting hammered? Sam Dyson.
Melanson.
Mark Melanson. There's more. Fernando Rodney. What's the guy's name? Sung Hyo Oh.
Yeah, with the Cardinals.
Got the Cardinals
batted around pretty good the other night.
Exactly. Sung Hwan Oh. Man, that feels very racist the way I'm saying it. Anyway, so rough day, rough few days for closers.
And I think the closers as a group will bounce back, and, you know, overall they'll do well during the season. But I'm sure we'll see closers as a category up here a few times, because, you know, as we saw that closers were the name of the game back in the 80s and 90s. And now it's transitioned that, you know, anybody can be a closer.
Yes.
So it's not
Gianmar Gomez. That's the other one.
Yes.
The Phillies gave up two runs. I don't know. It's a mess.
It is a mess.
It's a mess out there, man.
So let's cap this one. So hot or not, there it is. First ever hot or not in the books. Okay, let's move on, because we got to move quickly through the next three segments.
Yes.
Starting nine, we've got...
starting nine.
For April Fools, you have nine players with comedian names.
Yes. Now, I wanted to use stand-up comedians here just because if I just use, like, comedy people, it's too easy, right? And we'll save that for another time. So let's bang these out real easy.
Okay.
Daniel Murphy, Eddie Murphy, right? Aaron Hicks, one of the greatest all time. Yeah, Bill Hicks.
I agree with that, yes.
Right? Another all time great, Lenny Bruce. We got Jay Bruce. Gets a little thinner after that. So I got Robinson Cano for Robin Williams. It looks better written down than it does out loud. Not necessarily one of the all-time greats, but then this pitcher is not one of the all-time greats either. Mike Shoemaker, Amy Schumer.
That's good.
That's close.
Yeah.
New young guy coming on the scene, Bo Burnham. I got Billy Burns. We got the alliteration. We got a burn in there somewhere. It's very close.
Bo Burnham's awesome.
He's fantastic.
Absolutely hysterical.
Next up, I got Steve Cishek for Louis C.K.
Okay.
All right, and
there's
then
no Louis out there.
No, not really. Not her. There's like a Lewis. There's a Lewis that's in the the Mariners system, actually. All right, the next one I got for Juris Familia. I got Juris Einfeld.
Okay, that was good. I like that one.
For David Letterman, I have Seung Hwan Oh, because his last word name is a letter.
Okay.
Man.
That's creative, though. I got to give you that one.
Thank you. Thank you. And then to wrap it all up, Justin Turner for Carrot Top. Though arguably less steroids.
And Justin Turner is much more attractive.
Well, that's, you know, that's a personal thing, John.
Yeah, old school Carrot Top was goofy looking. New school Carrot Top is downright scary.
Yeah, it's a little Nightmare Factory type stuff.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
That's all I got.
Let's keep that flow moving toward.
Yeah.
So we spent the last 6 weeks going over preseason previews for each one of the divisions.
Yeah.
And now we're going to do our picks for playoffs and World Series predictions.
Right. So what I did was I put on this grid here the playoff and World Series odds or percentage,
chances
whatever.
To win, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Chances to make the playoffs. This isn't just to win the division. It's just to make the playoffs.
Okay.
So I put those percentages down, and We just run through those real quick, American League, and then we'll do National League separately. So first of all, Indians, 93.6, Red Sox, 84.1, Astros, 79.6, Blue Jays, 50, Angels, 32.7, Mariners, 29.2, Rangers, 27.3, Tigers, 26.9. So let's talk division by division, right?
Mm-hmm.
So American League East, I see the Red Sox being the best team in that division. Even with David Price being sort of iffy, I think Porcello, whatever the heck his name is, knows how, and I hate to say this because it's such a terrible statistic thing, he knows how to win games. He knows how to keep the other team from not scoring too many runs. Like, if the Red Sox don't score, they don't win when he pitches. So that's not good. But he always tends to keep, you know, it's 3 or 4 runs. It's never like 8 runs. So that's good. He's a good, like a number 2 pitcher. He was the number 1 pitcher because he won the Cy Young last year. Bless his heart. They had to give it to someone, and there was no clear guy. And anyway, that's the Red Sox fan talking. But I really like them to win that division. And then, I think the Blue Jays are very good. And I think the Yankees and Rays are okay too, but I think the Red Sox have that division. Central, we both think it's the Indians.
We do.
Okay.
I definitely think it's going to be the Indians. And I think that the Red Sox, as long as there's no injuries to the pitching staff beyond Price, that's pretty much a lock. Their offense is just too good.
Yeah, I don't think John Farrell's a very good manager, but he's good enough. And as long as they don't hurt anymore, I mean, they're already missing a couple of relievers, but they seem to have enough pieces to...
Yeah, we talked last week about the Indians. I think it was last week.
Yeah.
There's really not a lot of discussion there. They improved that team tremendously just by getting the pitching staff back in order, and then picking up Encarnacion is a huge, huge upgrade for them.
Awesome move by them to move from Napoli, who will probably regress a little bit, to Encarnacion, who is at least going to be his usual awesomeness for the next 2 or 3 years.
So we've got Red Sox and Indians. We're both in agreement on that. What do you think about the West?
I do think it's the Astros. The Rangers do have that had that thing last year where they could just find ways to win games, but I feel like that runs out after a while. And I think the playoff odds have them at 27%. And I see them being like around that Angels level where it's, look, I make fun of the Angels, but you know, if a few things break right, they could make their way into that wild card, you know? Like, neither of those teams is going to win the division, though, because I don't think the Rangers...
No.
You can't have 2 starting pitchers and win a division.
I'm surprised that the Angels are that high. Really surprising.
This is the Fangraphs thing, right? Like, I think what it is there are certain projections... Like, the projections for Tyler Skaggs, right, are basically a top 30... top 25 pitcher in baseball. Tyler Skaggs.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you factor in all those projections together, this is what comes out. And if I had to pick between Rangers, Angels, I'm picking the Rangers. I mean, they have
Angels lineup in third, fourth place. I don't even see them.
The thing about the Angels is they have a pretty good defense, and they got rid of Jared Weaver, addition by subtraction by multiplication. I'm not sure what that means, but still. And they have Mike Trout. I don't know. They have solid pieces, Cole Calhoun and Albert Pujols. So it's a health thing. And they, you know, they have Garrett Richards and Mike Shoemaker. Those are 2 good pitchers. They're not great, but they're good. Didn't Richards come close to winning the Cy Young a couple years ago? I think it was close and then got injured.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I feel like they're... But I understand the projection system. And then the Tigers at 27%, man, that's a long shot. But someone's got to be the wild card, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one of the Angels, Mariners, Rangers, Tigers. If you had to pick one, or the Blue Jays, right? So if you had to pick...
I think it's going
to
be the Blue Jays and the Mariners as the wild card. Astros, Indians, Red Sox, and the Mariners and the Blue Jays. That's who I'm picking.
Yeah, I'm down with that. We're done with the AL, right?
Yep.
Or do we do the who's going to do the playoffs? So the okay, so who's going to the World Series then? So
I would say that in that I'm yeah, the Indians are the best team in the American League right now, in my opinion. And if their pitching doesn't get hurt, they will they will be the team to beat. But I see the Indians and the Red Sox playing for the pennant.
Yeah. I got the Astros.
You're picking the Astros to win the world to World Series?
I'm picking the Astros to go to the World Series.
That's good. I like that pick.
And here's why. Because I think they have the farm system. They have the bullpen that you need. I mean, look at their bullpen. Devenski, Will Harris, Giles, Gregerson. Like, that's the bullpen that everyone wants. They want that bullpen. Right? So the only question, they have their awesome starting lineup. Their hitting is top to bottom is right, maybe the best in baseball. Pitching. So the question is the starting pitching. And so if you have Keuchel and McCullers hold strong, and then you have what? Fires, Musgrove, and Morton?
Morton has been the talk of spring training.
Yeah.
Because his fastball has increased by 3 miles per hour.
Right, because he did that throwing program.
Yes. So he's like the buzz, you know, the big buzz in spring training. Across all of spring training, like, is he really going to be as good as he looked in spring training? So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and then you also have Colin McHugh, and they also have this very deep, tradable farm system to go get anything that they need. So I have the Astros.
So just so you know, we're almost at an hour.
Nah, who cares? There's no time limit anymore. Not with our new website, foul-territory.com. This is important stuff, John. People want to hear this stuff.
Do they? Okay.
Also, there's no way for us to know when people stop listening. So
we don't have the metrics for that.
There's no way to know how long they listen unless they, because most of them download the entirety through iTunes.
Gotcha.
Anyway, okay. So we got in the American League, we have our. You say the Indians, I say Astros in the World Series.
Okay.
Right? Now we're over the National League.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the crazy numbers for the National League. Playoff odds. Dodgers, 96%. Cubs, 94%. Nationals, 87.7%. Giants, 66.9%. Mets, 58.7%. Cardinals, 49.9, Pirates 12.4, and Los Marlins 11.9. So first of all, I want to point out that the Dodgers have a higher percentage, though Fangraphs considers the Cubs to be the better team, but because the Dodgers get to play the Padres and the Rockies and the Diamondbacks and the Giants, they have a better chance of making the playoffs. So here we go, by division.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about any of those percentages or just move into the division?
I just think that the Rockies not being on the list is a little bit of a surprise.
They're not a good team, John, and they got injured guys already.
Yeah, but I still think the Rockies are a long shot to make long shot to make the wild card. Not a long shot, but I think they will be in the hunt for the wild card.
I think that they are too, but I think that they have less of a chance than the Marlins. Because remember, the Rockies have to play the Dodgers and the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. The more you know.
We'll see.
You can throw them in as one of your wild cards here, but let's go by division here. So we have the AL. We did the AL East first. So let's do the NL East first. I feel the Nationals are the best team in that division and will win.
I agree.
Mets, I think, are a very good team and a high probability wild card.
I don't
even
agree
a little higher than this 58.7%, but I think it's health, right? Like they have every team has health, of course, but they have a history of health problems.
Having Syndergaard go out with a blister in the first game that he dominates, that's here we go, Mets fans.
I wish they could do something about this outfield situation they have too, like Granderson and Bruce. They don't have a true center fielder.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, they got fielding problems too, but I still feel like all together, that's the fourth, fifth best team in the National League. So then we go over to the Central, and of course the Cubs there, and of course the Cubs will win that division
easily.
I mean, there's a chance they won't, but you know, injuries and typhoons and whatnot. But the Cardinals are an interesting team because, of course, they didn't make the playoffs last year. And they should make the playoffs this year. It feels like the Reds and the Brewers should put up even less of a fight this year than they did last year. I guess the Brewers are about the same. But the Reds look worse in the Central. I kind of like the Cardinals. I kind of like the pieces they have. I don't like their manager, but I like the pieces.
I can see that. Cardinals is definitely is a wild card.
And then over in the West, the Dodgers are considered the better team. They probably will win the division. So I'm going to... The team that has Clayton Kershaw and Rich Hill and Kenta Maeda. I mean, it's such a great matchup, those two teams, though, the Dodgers and the Giants. Mm-hmm. And it's just that for each one, the Dodgers are just a little bit better. A little bit better. I like the Dodgers outfield. I like Brandon Belt better than Adrian Gonzalez. I mean, they bring up Cody Bellinger.
Division could come down to the head-to-head between those two teams.
Yeah, yeah. But I still see the Dodgers as better, but that doesn't mean they're going to win. It just means they're better on paper. And then you're saying the Rockies, and God bless you. I'm sure they appreciate it. I don't think the Diamondbacks are very good in that division. No. But I'm very interested to see what they do with that team because they've got a new general manager who isn't beholden to any of those contracts, any of that ridiculousness that Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa. Man, where's my coffee at? Let's just call him Tony Stewart. That's or bring him Dave La Russa.
Dave La Russa, I like that.
Okay. The Dave La Russa, you know, traded away a lot of their, you know, Dansby Swanson, all these great players they had. But they, you know, they have AJ Pollock and they have Paul Goldschmidt and they have Yasmani Tomas, and these are tradable players. And then maybe Greinke had a solid first game, you know, maybe he shows a little bit of that and they can dump his contract on someone. Be interesting to see how they play the rest of the season out.
It could be a very competitive the NL West could be the most competitive division in baseball.
No.
I think it could be.
Well, couldn't any division be the most competitive division in baseball?
Well, there's some that you could look at and say...
Look, the AL East, man. Look, I'm not trying to sound like a homer, like an East Coast homer, because I've just been here for 6 months. But the AL East is where it's at, my friend. The Orioles? We didn't even talk about the Orioles.
Yeah, Orioles and Yankees. And I think it's a two-team. It's two teams.
But look, the Red Sox are considered almost as good a team as the Indians, right? Almost. Just on paper. They just are. But their playoff percentage is 84 compared to Indians' 93.6 because of how tough that division is. I'm just saying. We're talking about toughness of division? Come on.
Yeah, but the Orioles and the Yankees don't even make the list.
Yeah, but I had to cut them off at a certain point. They're still in the 20s. Marlins, who are an 11.9, my friend.
Well, I just show you how strong the American League is versus the National League.
John, we're talking about the NL West? We're talking about the division that has the Padres in it. Did you see the Padres?
Right. And so everybody's going to beat up on the Padres.
The Pops. These are the Pops we were talking about.
Right.
And what does Pops mean? Fathers. Fathers. Padres. Think about it. I don't know what any of that means. I feel like I'm doing announcing for InfoWars now.
Yeah, you're getting your Alex Jones on.
I'll get my Alex Jones, man. I love that guy. I love clips of that guy anyway. I don't like actually watching stuff that he does.
He looks like he's going to burst a blood vessel every time he's
there. No better highlight reels on the planet than Alex Jones highlight reels.
Getting all frothy.
Oh, man. It's the best. All right. What else are we doing? All right. So then we have our division winners. And we have our wild cards. Right? Did we say wild cards?
Yeah. I'm going with the Giants and the Cardinals.
Right. Wait. How many wild cards are there?
Two.
Right, they have two wild cards, and then they play a game, and then the player of that game plays it. Right, okay, good. Right. I'm like, geez, why is this coming out to an odd number? Anyway, I still got my NFL playoff system in my head. So, and then Marlins have a shot, Pirates have a shot, and you're saying the Rockies have a shot.
Yes, I think the Rockies should be in. I'm such a surprise that they're it's a huge drop-off from the Cardinals to the Pirates. You know, you go from 49.9% to 12%. So that's saying that there's not a lot of quality, or at least based on statistical analysis.
It's all projections, John. I'm first to admit it's all projection. It's not.
Yeah, you gotta play the game, right?
But are you saying Giants and Cardinals?
Giants and Cardinals in the wild card.
Giants and Cardinals. I'm gonna say Giants and Mets.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter because I don't think any of them are going to the World Series. I think the Dodgers are going to the World Series.
I think the Nationals are going to go to the World Series.
Fun. So I've got book it, ladies and gentlemen. I've got Dodgers and Astros in the World Series, and you've got Indians and Nationals?
Yes. Probably the lowest rated World Series in the history of the world. No, I shouldn't say that. That should be there's a little bit.
No, that would be pretty low, John. Like, unless somehow some rambunctious player gets traded to the Indians and we get into like a Bryce Harper versus rambunctious player to be named later.
Yeah, like if the Marlins and the Mariners made the World Series, that could be the lowest rated World Series in the history of World Series.
Could be rough. Anyway, Dodgers, Astros. Even though, of course, I'd love the Red Sox to go and win another one, but I just feel like there's something special about that Astros lineup. And if the pitch, it just takes their pitching to click, because it's all about pitching in the playoffs. And they have the bullpen, and they just need that starting pitching to go five innings.
And they took out Talon's Hill too, so now they moved the fences in from 434 feet to 409 in center field. So that
we're gonna see center field home runs there now.
Yeah, so
that was always weird, and seemed dangerous.
I agree.
It was fun though.
It was fun to watch somebody running, and then all of a sudden it was trip fun up to and watch, fall yes. down. Okay, so let's move on to the final segment, extra innings.
Yes.
Where we take a look on what's going on outside of the baseball world.
I'm in.
We talked, I guess it was pre-show, we talked a little bit about how boring the NCAA game was last night or whatever night.
Yeah, boring result, boring process.
Yeah, it just was not a very well-played game. Horrific officiating in the sense that I think each team had 22 personal fouls. It was just ridiculous. Oh. It was crazy.
Yeah, just really bad misses by the refs on some things.
Yeah, and horrible shooting and then just both sides.
Exactly, horrible shooting. Like, that's the thing. Like, you're missing 3-foot putbacks. You kind of deserve to lose, but geez.
Yeah, it was not a good game. Not a memorable one by any means. And either both teams deserved to lose, but one of them had to win. That was one of those games.
Yeah.
So we're talking next about a shocker.
Yes.
It's a shocker. News coming down, I think it was earlier today or late last night, that Tony Romo is going into the broadcast booth. But
yeah,
he hasn't retired.
It's not official. He hasn't retired. But the rumor is he's telling people that he is leaving football and not just going into broadcasting, but he's replacing Phil Sims at CBS.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So Sims is the latest. Sims is retiring or Sims is out?
I don't know. I guess they're retiring him or whatever. They're sending him out to pasture.
I was thinking that, you know, Romo would be up in the broadcast booth, but could still suit up and play. And he'd be like up in the broadcast booth and he's like, oh, got to run.
Like Siragusa, in the reporting from the end zone.
Yeah. But he's, you know, he's like not retired. He's like, I'm leaving that door open. At least that's reportedly that he's leaving the door open. He doesn't want to officially say he's done. But, you know, holding
isn't
the clip.
The whole Brett Favre thing, except maybe with less
could
penis
be. Yeah, he just,
shots.
You know. he held the clipboard all year last year and you know, rightfully so. And I think you lose a little bit of that hunger. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah. Plus maybe he's tired of breaking his clavicle.
Right. He's getting injured.
Like, has
constantly.
Anyone factored this into the equation?
And he maybe just accepted the fact that he was not capable of winning the big one or even getting to the big one.
I don't know that that's the case. I mean, I just think he just doesn't want to play football anymore.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'm surprised with all the stuff they have about concussions that once these guys get rich, walk away, man.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially if they have the ability to go and parlay their career into broadcasting.
Yeah, exactly.
Go out on top. So let's switch sports over to the NHL. This was a kind of a surprise that Gary Bettman and the commissioner of the NHL announced that the NHL would not be participating in the Olympics in 2018 in Japan.
Very strange.
Or Korea. That was a shocker.
Yeah, very strange.
And the players were very disappointed.
Yes, apparently the Players Association was quite
and they weren't
put
even,
out.
They weren't even consulted.
Now, do you know what the story is behind that? Because they've been doing this for 100 years, right? Like, or as long
since
as
the 90s. I think the 92 Olympics was when they were allowed to.
That's
not,
almost 100 years, John.
Yeah, seems like it. I think the 92 is the first time they went from amateur to allowing the professionals to play.
Right. So I'm rounding up to 100 is basically what you're saying.
Close enough.
Okay. probably not 100 years, though. Yeah, I liked having the pros play in the Olympics because the other teams, the other countries were putting up players that were basically
professionals.
Pros.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. I so the, they were, these are people who were being paid, like especially the, you know, the Eastern Bloc countries at the time, they were being paid to not or to only pursue that sport. Whereas American amateurs were like, hey, I'm available for like a year. If you need me, then I'm going to go play for money. But the Russians and the East Germans and the, remember that was a country, East Germany, they would get not paid because they were still amateurs, but they would have everything sort of taken care of.
Government-funded teams, and they were
exactly.
Yeah, they were pretty much taken care of from day one.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I would rather it was all amateurs if it was all amateurs.
No, I agree. There's you something know? I do.
It's not like the boxers. It's not like the boxers bring in like professional boxers.
No, I do. Like I did
the
like
synchronized swimmers bring in professional synchronized swimmers
from the synchronized swimming league.
Yes,
the world synchronized
the North swimming American league. Synchronized swimming league, NASL.
Oh, that's good comedy right there. Okay, so we've touched upon the horrible basketball game, the ongoing saga of Tony Romo, the Olympics and the NHL abandoning the Olympics. And then we have a non-sport related
yes.
Topic to round out the show. That
this is like a 15th or 16th inning if we're talking extra innings
right,
here.
Right. This is deep into yes. the night. Bill O'Reilly is back in the news. Not for, you know, anything that that people weren't aware of, but it's now becoming newsworthy again because more people are coming out for some harassment-related issues. And two pretty big sponsors, among several others, pulled out of advertising for the O'Reilly Factor show.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting and worth mentioning here because it's, look, first of all, they're never going to cancel his show because it's the highest-rated show in the cable news world, right? For whatever reason, people tune into this, and I'm not like left or right. People are entitled to watch whatever they want to watch. That's fine. But this guy's on the books for $13 million in payouts for sexual harassment suits. That is a lot of money to have paid out.
Hush money.
Hush money to have paid out for, like, dude, keep it together. I think it's interesting these companies are pulling out, if you know what I'm saying, because maybe that's the problem with Bill O'Reilly. Anyway, that joke was sounded much better in my head. But
I think
anyway.
He's more of the harassing, you know, dirty old man type as opposed
yeah.
to the, you know, cheesy
actual sexual intercourse.
Yeah, Ailes type where he's, you know, rubbing up against you at the water cooler type of thing.
Right. Right. Well, you know, again, we don't want to get a political or anything, but I don't feel this is political. I just feel like this is a, you know, kind of a gross dude, but this is how the system works. The guy has ratings, so it's going to stick around. Mercedes and BMW. And the wording on all these companies, by the way, it's all we've paused our advertising. It's not like we will never advertise for this
we're
scumbag
gonna wait for this,
ever again.
Right. As they say in Shaun of the Dead, they're going to wait for this to all blow over.
Yes. And then once it blows over, then they'll start. They want to get that premium ad space, you know, and
right.
like.
Right. And the money will be back there.
Exactly. Anyway. A little social commentary there at the end to
I mean, if you made it that far,
yeah,
if you made it to the 16th inning, God love you.
Yeah, there's no one listening, John. I'm not even listening.